Sharon had it made. She was the daughter of a wealthy and socially prominent family. One day at dinner, she excused herself politely, saying she felt a little ill and wanted to walk around the block for fresh air. Her family never saw her again for 6 months. She simply vanished. Detectives found her working in a little bistro in Seattle. Her parents couldn't understand such irrational behavior, but Sharon had an answer for them. "I was bored to death with everything and just had to get away from it all." Boredom has become one of the 20th century's most dangerous diseases. Scientific studies show that simple boredom is responsible for most antisocial behavior, including marital infidelity, excessive drinking, brawls, major and petty crimes, and juvenile delinquency. I've often wondered what strange quirk of behavior could have caused Aaron and the children of Israel to build and worship a golden calf. You remember that story. Shortly after their escape from Egypt, the Israelis were camped near Mount Sinai. They had seen the parting of the Red Sea, the incredible plagues, the cloud and fire in the desert, but now they were just sitting, waiting for Moses. Their leader had been on top of the mountain for days. He was receiving divine instructions for the building of the tabernacle. But the people were bored to death. There was nothing to occupy their time in that wilderness. No beaches, no golf courses, no racquetball or tennis courts, no picnic areas, no shopping centers, no places of amusement. Nothing but sand and sagebrush, and it was as boring as it could be. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us." "As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." Aaron was apparently as bored as they were. He answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf. Aaron and his friends had a brief reprieve from their stifling boredom, but what a cost. Before their fling ended, 3,000 of the people were dead. Their boredom drove them to extreme measures. Dr. Irwin Ross has warned us of the problem in our generation. He said research shows that almost nobody is completely immune to boredom. As a matter of fact, the average individual is bored more than a third of the time. Exactly what is boredom? What makes it tick? Scientists have found that it's one of the most curious phenomena known to man. People are bored most of the time without knowing why. The doctor knows what he's talking about. The files of physicians and caseworkers are jammed with histories of those who suffer from chronic boredom. It's known, for example, that a person suffering an advanced stage of boredom has ceased caring what happens to him. Subconsciously, he flirts with the idea of ending it all. He will speed his car around a dangerous curve, quite aware that he's risking his life. Or a bored husband flirts with another woman. Consciously and subconsciously, he wants a change. It doesn't matter what it is. And here's the trap. Boredom doesn't exist where there is danger. What a far, far cry this is from Jesus' proclamation. "I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly." The Bible makes it clear that we can be free from this paralyzing disease. The child of God does not need to bow to boredom or any other debilitating circumstance. We can be free. But that freedom is not automatic for salvation. You can be a Christian and still be bored. God never violates your will. But once you decide that you will not be a slave to any of Satan's devices, you're on the path to liberty, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Now let me give you some practical tips on escaping boredom. First, you must come to grips with the fact that it is not of God and therefore should be repelled with all your might. Can you imagine the God of the universe being bored? Of course not. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become sons and daughters of God. Boredom with life is not a norm of Christian possibility. Boredom can be lethal. It is not God's plan for your life. Once you have that settled in your mind, it will become easier to deal with the problem. But all the ministers and Bibles in the world cannot help you until you come to the place where boredom is unacceptable to you. The question is still the same as when Jesus first asked it. Will you be made whole? Now let's check out some of the reasons we get bored. We get bored with life when we get bored with ourselves. Say, are you aware of the Christian principle of liking yourself? Jesus told us that we are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. When you begin to be aware of your potential in Christ Jesus, the whole world suddenly comes alive. It's downright sinful to keep putting yourself down all the time. Look at what you're doing. You are saying that God didn't know what he was doing when he created you. You are indicating God didn't have much judgment in sending Jesus Christ to die for you. You are limiting the Holy Spirit's creativity within you by stating that you can never succeed in this business of living. Let me give you a simple prayer. Lord, I thank you for creating me in such excellent fashion. As a human being, I represent the highest level of your productive ability. I believe my potential for living is unlimited. I want my life to reflect your divine glory, Father. Thank you for the excitement of living each day. Now that's positive praise. You'll begin to see yourself as God sees you. While it's true that boredom cannot coexist with danger, it's equally true that it cannot exist in the presence of Almighty God. So when your life is a reflection of the majesty of the Lord, boredom has to go. Tolstoy hit it right on the head when he said, to know God is to live. It takes God to really put enthusiasm in your life. I think the most tragic obituary I've ever read was that of Napoleon Bonaparte. It was written by Victor Hugo. Napoleon lived his life in the ruthless pursuit of self-gratification. Thousands and thousands of lives were tossed away for no good reason at all except Napoleon's continual thirst for power. He died a cancer in exile. And when he breathed his last, Hugo wrote, God was bored by him. What a devastating line. Probably very true. It took a contrast to the life of Paul. He also spent his last years in exile, imprisoned in Rome. The cell that was his last home was horrible. History tells us that some men went totally insane in that place, but not Paul. From his dungeon he wrote such things as, rejoice in all things, and again I say unto you, rejoice. He never lost his enthusiasm. Even when he knew the executioner was on his way, he testified, I have fought a good fight. Oh, the fire was still in him. Paul didn't know the meaning of the word boredom. He had invested his life in the cause of Christ, and he had a lot of problems, but he was never bored. I minister in many churches throughout a year. Some of those congregations are really on fire. There's a contagious enthusiasm in everything they do. When they sing, it makes the roof shake. When they give, it's really an offering, not a token. And when they pray, they make hell shake. And when the preacher ministers the word, it only adds gasoline to the fire. It's never business as usual in those churches. You'll never be bored in those services. One meeting per Sunday won't hold the crowd. Some of them have two services or three. One of my friends has to preach seven times every Sunday. The place is packed each time. People find Christ by the hundreds in that church. It's alive. And I see the same thing in homes. There are families that seem to be magnetic. Their homes may not be palatial, but they're warm and exciting. Laughter rings through the halls and rooms. There's a divine energy there. God is the head of those homes, and enthusiasm comes from him. You know, boredom is highly contagious. But so is enthusiasm. So get involved with enthusiastic people. That's the Christian crowd. It's always been that way. Why, wherever Jesus went, you'd find a crowd. Things were happening there. Lives were being touched constantly. You could never meet Jesus and be the same again, and he's just the same today. You know, there's a terrific moving of the Holy Spirit across this world today. I believe it's God's answer to hell's boredom. The revival has crossed all denominational lines. South America is feeling the impact of it right now. In our own denomination, we've seen growth from 300 persons 65 years ago to well over 9 million strong around the world. Why? What is there about it? You can't credit that kind of growth to methods. No, the reason is the life-changing dynamic of a God-filled life. A life that has escaped the boredom of the world. It's a changed life. It's found the reality and excitement of knowing Jesus. And you can be one of them. Really face the issue squarely today. Have all of your pursuits and interests brought you the fulfillment you desire? Consider the fact that Jesus Christ is the answer to your search. Modern science confirms that most of the world's population today is bored stiff. You don't have to be bored. You can meet Jesus Christ in these next couple of minutes. Oh, your life will never be the same again. Satan always attacks you in the area of your weakness. And when you suffer from boredom, it leaves you wide open for that attack. In a moment, let's pray together and ask God for a new spark that will start the fire burning again. Cyril, lead the choir in a song of invitation. My friend and I kneel together. Heavenly Father, we ask for strength in the areas of our weakness and spiritual life where there's so much death. Our world is in a frantic search for pleasure and some lasting meaning. But those of us who found Christ believe that we have located the source of joy and peace and life. We often sing, "All that I want is in Jesus, He satisfies. Joy He supplies. Life would be worthless without Him. All things in Jesus I find." Lord, I pray a special prayer for this dear friend kneeling with me at the altar. We may be far apart geographically, but we're very close in spirit. And I know that your presence is attending this eternally meaningful moment. Please meet every need listed in my friend's prayer. Mankind must have hope and a purpose for living. Otherwise, there stands boredom lurking in the shadows, waiting for the opportunity to strike. But we know that a child of God need never be bored, for he has life in the Son. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, you'll find the key to delightful living in the Word of God. Perhaps you'll find the Bible hard to understand. So I've prepared a special series of Bible studies for you, and I'll send them right off to you when you're right for them. And somewhere near you, there is a terrific church home, and it's just waiting for you. And you need that stability a church offers. So include the house of God in your regular activities. Now God richly bless you, and remember, you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you.
You have just heard Dan Vetzer in a message called Dealing with Boredom. Are you like the average person Brother Vetzer spoke of, who is bored more than a third of the time?